2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 8 through 12. Part 1 of a 3-part series titled The Power of Prayer. The Power of Prayer. Who among us have never found ourselves in a season, in a time, in a place in which you didn't know what to do?
All right now.
I didn't know whether to turn right or left or stand still. Mm-hmm. To go back, to move forward, or just to faint right here. Mm-hmm. In life, you'll find yourself sometimes, irregardless to how long you've been in the church, you'll find yourself caught in a place in which you don't know what to do. It is when you don't know what to do, you find yourself in the perfect place to release yourself from what you're going through. Now, that's a very difficult thing for people to do, because in the midst of us going through something, we like to put our hands on things and we like to control it. I'm learning in life that when you're going through something, that's the time to take your hands off of it. When you remove your hands from it and say, God, have your way with it. What I'm discovering, the quicker you get through the storm. As long as I'm going through something, God is trying to bless me, and I'm kicking and fighting with Him, and He said, crazy, as long as you kick and fuss and fight with me, you're going to stay right there. You ever find yourself going through something and say, man, what's taking so long? And God is saying, I'm waiting on you to get in place. What we do is, when we're going through something, we tend to fall back on what we feel comfortable with. The Bible declares the traditions of man make the word of God of non-effect. And so, in other words, God has spoken the word to you. He promised you something, and God is moving in your situation, but you fall back to your tradition.
All right now.
You know how mama them did it. How grandma told you this is how it works. Right. How your girlfriend on the cell phone called you and told you this is what you need to do. How your homeboy say, this is how you bounce out of the situation. And you find yourself going through something, and you discover that you're no match for God whatsoever. God loves you so much that before God created you, He already had a plan for you. You're not here by accident. And not only are you not here by accident, but every single thing that you're going through, it has your name on it. You got to know that God has a strategy for your life.
Yes.
Now, while you feel good about that one, I must tell you also, Satan has a strategy for your life. So he comes and he says, Joe, or Robert, or Bob, or Bill.
All right.
He knows you by name.
All right.
Don't be afraid, because he knows you by name. He only knows you by name because you've been wearing this tail out.
All right.
Sometimes in life we find ourselves fighting against something or someone in which we've already defeated. Why fight when you already have the victory? When we discover that we have the victory, then we understand, in the midst of going through something, I don't have to fight, because this battle is not mine, it is the Lord. Now, if you get cute and think that it is by your might, your wisdom, your background, your education, your smarts, your this and your that, Satan will tear you up every time.
Right.
And not only will he tear you up, but the God that loves you so much will step to the side and allow it to happen. But even in the midst of God for a moment disappearing on you, the presence of God, you need to know that God is omnipresent, so he is still there even though he's not manifesting himself. But his love cannot allow him to leave you. You may walk away from God, but God cannot walk away from you. Because you can't walk away from God and do it in peace, you must realize that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You remember once upon a time you could say what you wanted to say, do what you wanted to do, and it didn't matter to you? However it came out, that was cool with me. But now the moment that you do something, the Holy Spirit convicts you and you say, I remember back in the day, I will get you. But now God is maturing. Y'all know that too well, don't you? Now God is maturing you, and so what God says is, hold your peace. And you say, oh no, I can't do that. I'm going to get you. And God is saying, but I've got this. You don't have to worry about that. See, we choose sometimes in life to fight the wrong battles. When you find yourself fighting the wrong battle, you need to know that every time you're going to lose. Now, Josephinite or Jehoshaphat is his name. Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means Jehovah judge. Sometimes God will allow your situations to judge you in your life. He find himself in chapter number 17 being appointed king of Judah. The word Judah means praise. So you got to imagine this. The king who is over praise go through a battle. At the end of a battle, he then get cocky and say, not look what the Lord has done. Look what I've done. Look what I accomplish. And God says, okay, go ahead. And so sometimes in life, when you walk out on God, you don't feel God walking out on you, Samson. So you think you still have the same power. I don't mean physical power, I mean spiritual power. We call it anointing. That's why you'll get in trouble every time when you try to imitate somebody else's gift.
Say that.
Sometimes people will look at your life and say, I don't know how they're doing it. They don't understand that you are anointed to do that. Then they'll run and copy what you're doing and get themselves killed. And they wonder how you can do it. God sometimes will anoint you to do something, and sometimes the anointing is just for a season. Sometimes your season is up doing one thing, but you keep on trying to do it, and so now because you're doing it, you have to put more energy and effort because the anointing is gone. The grace to do it is gone. You gotta be in tune with the Holy Spirit and hear what God is saying to you so that you can be instant in season and out of season, but I'm still ready to go. Here's a king of Judah, king of praise, finding himself thinking seeing that he still got the power to do it, he stopped relying on God, began to rely on himself. And when he began to rely on himself, he find himself being challenged by his enemies. Now, if you look at verse number 1, verse number 2, somebody comes to the king and they says, "You remember those people that you allowed to live? Here they come." Isn't it just like a friend to tell you, "Here comes your enemies"?
Right.
Well, did you try to stop them? No, I just wanted to come and tell you that they was coming. So he find himself being confronted with some enemies. The bad part about it, as I said earlier, is that these are enemies where you could have took them out. Mm-hmm. But now you go to church. Because you go to church, you say, "Oh, I just let the Lord deal with that one." And so you turn it over to God, and a couple of months later, God turn it back over to you. And the same people that you could have took out, there you go facing them again. What's wrong with me? Because back in the day, you know, you would have been through back in the day. But you've been baptized, not with water, but with the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And you understand that even though I didn't take you out, I really paralyzed you.
Yes.
Because I prayed for
yes.
you.
Yes.
And the little stuff that I could have done to you is nothing in comparison to the stuff that my God will do
yes.
to you.
Yes.
That's why God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." So you don't have to worry about it. He says, "Cast all your cares upon me, because I care about you." And because God cares about you, he'll fight your battles in the morning. He'll fight them at night. He'll fight them when the wind is blowing. He'll fight them in the storm. You gotta try God and know what God will do for you. There's nothing that is impossible or too hard for God.
All right, ma'am.
So we find ourselves in verse number 8. And in verse number 8 it says, "And they dwell therein, and have built a sanctuary therein for thy name." Now they said they built a sanctuary for God's name. We build sanctuaries today for beautification. We build churches today so that we can say, "Look what we have done. Look what we have." And God is saying, "You better put me in there somewhere." Because the sanctuary that they're talking about is not a building. God says, Jesus says, "I'm coming back for a church." That's you, baby. He don't care anything about the building. He's coming back for you. And when he returned for you, he said, "I want my name to be found." Now you have to understand the name of Jesus. When you pray, that's why you pray in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that you receive your deliverance out of your situation, out of your affliction, out of your circumstance. So when you pray to God in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, bleeding the blood, that's how you're able to get out of situations.
All right.
Because you're doing it not by might, not by will, not by anything, but in the name of Jesus. And we always hear that. In the name of Jesus. What is it about the name of Jesus that had power to what you're doing?
I
want to leave you with four things tonight. In the name of Jesus. In is nature. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're calling on the nature of Jesus. His nature is to be sovereign. Sovereign is not just omnipresent everywhere. Sovereign is I'm everywhere and I'm in control. You talking about my situation? I got it. You talking about my bills? I got it. You talking about my sickness? I got it. You talking about my loneliness? Jesus is saying, I got all that and I paid it on the cross. It's already taken care of. So the nature of Jesus or God is to release the love upon mankind. Everything that God does to us, for us, is in love.
Yes.
Love covers a multitude of what?
Sin.
When you love someone, you don't look at the little things that they do.
Yes.
If you see that, you think about the big things that you've done.
Amen.
See, sometimes we're so busy looking at other folks. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did that. And God is saying, hey, you remember just yesterday? Oh, I'm sorry. You remember 5 minutes ago what you did to me? And you prayed and said, Lord, forgive me as I forgive them. Do you really want me to forgive you, but you can't forgive nobody else? That's why when you pray in the name of Jesus, he says you got to forgive others as you want him to forgive you. The nature of God is love and forgiveness. If we are really a church and we can't forgive one another, we might as well lock the doors and walk down the street. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's the nature of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved. The motivation was love. The motivation was, let me see how many people I can get to follow me. That's not it. Let me see what I can. That's not it. He says, I'm doing it because my nature is love. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, you tap into the nature of God. When you tap into the nature of God, you then touch the attitude of God. The attitude of God is the actions of God. Faith without works is
dead.
If God say I love you, but God never moves, that's not God.
All right.
So God is saying you'll know me every time, because when you cry out to me, he says not only do you say help, but he says I show up in your situation. Okay. Have you ever called upon the name of Jesus? And when you begin to call upon the name of Jesus, all of a sudden your situation begins to turn around, because you realize that this is not about me, this is about him. When I turn it over to God, I can sit back and watch him work it out for me. You got to get yourself in a place where you really have to try Jesus. When you really try him, you understand that the attitude that we must have is an attitude that is a godly attitude. Doesn't mean we're going to hit the mark every time. Doesn't mean we're going to get it right every time. Because, baby, in this life, you will fall more than you stand. But that's all right. He says, I gave you my only begotten son. Stretch forth on an old rugged cross so that you can have life, not just any life, but have it more abundantly. So he wants you to understand the attitude. So he moves from his nature to his attitude. And now he says, let me show you something, Let me manifest myself. Because you've been praying, asking for something. Let me show up in your life. See, when you call upon the name of Jesus and he show up in your life, what God tends to do is show up in your life when it's dark in your life. You're wondering why you're going through the valley. You're going through the valley so that you can see him. You're going through the valley so that when he show up, it will be no doubt about it. You didn't have anything to do with it. So when he shows up, you can just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Have you ever tried to do something on your own, discovered that you just couldn't get it? You took a step back and fell on bended knees and began to call upon the name of the Lord. When you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, he shows up, he manifests that which you couldn't do. He just steps in and he'll show you how. how to do it. And if you're not careful with God, God will slide right in your life and he'll bless you and the blessings will beat you all upside of your head because you're looking for it for somewhere else. That's why he says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Oh, I don't want her to bless me. Baby, I don't care who you are. It don't make a difference to me. Okay, I don't like him. I don't like her. You know when you're anointed, folk who don't like you will still sow into your life because the anointing is like glue. They can't stop. May not like you, but they still feed it into your life because there's a sweet anointing that is upon your life. And you know the good part about it is that can't no man take that anointing from you. Isn't that good news to know that whatever God is giving you, nobody can take it away from you? And see, when God shows up in your life, God is saying, now it's time for me to show myself. And when God begins to show himself, because you tapped into the power of prayer, when you begin to pray, God begins to show up. When God shows up, he moves you to E. And what E is, he says, now let me allow you to expect a miracle in your life. That's why I'm always telling you, when you come to church, you don't expect God to do something. Stop coming to church just to go somewhere. I go to the club just to go somewhere. If I'm going somewhere, I want something out of the deal. And God is saying, try me. That's why he says that they build a sanctuary. And when they build a sanctuary, he says in verse number 9, when evil comes. In other words, the church is here. The church is you. But you're going to be tried along the way. But don't worry about what you're being tried with. You got to know who's on your side. You got to understand who's pushing you along the way. When you understand that God is pushing you along the way, what you then understand is that God is in the house. You got to know, I don't have to go into the church for God to be in the house. The house that I'm talking about is his body, baby. You can tear the church up, but he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. No, baby, no building. He's talking about you. He's talking about the trials and tribulations and the heartaches that you go through. He says, I'm building you. I'm building character. I'm building integrity. I know you're going through something, and I still got my eyes on you. Notice what they said in verse number 12. He says, I'm going through something. As a matter of fact, what it feels like is I'm going through hell, and I'm going through something, and folks trying to take all of my possessions. And they said, but my eyes is on thee. In other words, if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, when you seek his kingdom, God, I just want what you want for me. Because I know whatever you want is much sweeter than what I can imagine. So give me more of you. Give me what you desire. Give me what you allow me to be born for. God, I want more of you. And they said, my eyes is on thee. When your eyes is on God, what you allow yourself to do is to focus on God. When you begin to focus on God, what you understand is I'm looking to God, I'm praying to God in the name of Jesus. You see, it's in the name of Jesus that you get your blessing. It is in the name of Jesus that you get your power. It is the name of Jesus that you get your strength. It's the name of Jesus that you have peace. It's the name of Jesus where folk get mad with you because they can't stop you because you ain't operating on your own, baby. I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. When you begin to walk in the name of Jesus, you gotta know folk begin to get out of your way because they see anointing on your life. That's why God is blessing you in a crazy time like this. Everybody just lose their mind.
All right,
now. I got y'all got new
job. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
All right, now.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. How they unemployed?
All right.
Still paying their bill.
All right.
But when they were working, they were struggling. Now you see, now I'm here struggling. No more. Don't you tell me what God will do. God will make a way out of nowhere. God will be your branch over troubled water. Don't you tell me what God. Just try. Just try. See, you got to put your strength and you got to put your faith in God and He alone. Don't worry about what man say. Don't worry about what they do. Because the anointing that is upon your life, the power that is in your life, ain't nobody stop you. Ain't nobody stop you. When you don't know what to do, Tap into the power of prayer. Pray in the name of Jesus. His nature, his attitude, manifestation, and expectation. And watch God show up in your life.
Yes.
Have you been blessed tonight?
Yes.